Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
David prayed that the wicked people that sought to do him harm would get what they deserved. However, as recipients of God's grace and mercy, Christians should follow Jesus' command to pray that our enemies would repent so that they could also escape the eternal punishment that we and they deserve. Please open your Bible to Psalm 28, verse 4, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his discussion of David's prayer for help.
Look at what he says in verse 4. Give them according to their deeds. Give them what they deserve. I know this. I would never pray, God, give me what I deserve. And Jesus doesn't tell us to pray, give those what they deserve. Give them according to their wickedness. Give them after the work of their hands. No. Here's what Jesus says. How we should pray for people that have hurt us. Love your enemies. Bless them to curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And you know, you really can't do that, beloved, unless you have really been to Calvary and been regenerated, and unless you realize how much you've been forgiven. Notice that the people are wicked, verse 5, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. And so once again, we see in Scripture that the works and the ways of the Lord are in sharp contrast with the works and the ways of the wicked. The Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10, that the ministry of the priests was to make the people of God discern the difference between what was holy and what was unholy, what was clean and what was unclean. Jesus, our blessed Savior, said in the Sermon on the Mount that there are only two paths that a person can walk on. There's no third path. You know, we're living in a day and age where people are telling us there's a third gender, or you can be whatever gender you want. No, there's two paths. Just like you're either male or female. You're not a male one day and a female the next day. There's two paths. And I know that this isn't politically correct, but I could care less. There's two paths. There's the broad path of the flesh and the world that leads to destruction, and there's the narrow path that leads to life. And the Bible says that's the highway of holiness. And what's interesting to me is when you read the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus contrasts the broad path with the narrow path, keep in mind that the broad path is also a pathway of religion, because on the broad path, there's the Pharisees who prayed, who fasted, who gave, who did a lot of outward religious things, but they were wicked. They were unregenerate. You see, Christianity isn't a religion. A religion is man's way to get right with God based on what they do. Christianity is God making us right because of what someone else has done for us. And when you and I realize that by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and are born again, then we're put on that narrow path that leads to life. But the cause of destruction in a person's life is because they choose to disregard the works and the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 1 talks about people that self-destruct because they choose not the fear of the Lord. They disregard the things of the Lord. And look at our nation. Look at what is happening to our nation because we are disregarding the ways of the Lord, the truth of God. Look at the fruit. You know, it's foolish to think that we can ignore or rebel against the Word of God and not suffer consequences. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of our Creator. And just like our vehicles have owner's manual, the Word of God is our soul's owner's manual. And the things it commands are the very things that we were created to do. And the only wisdom that works in daily life is the same wisdom that comes from the one that created the world. The one that says, let there be light, and gives us promises. That's the only wisdom whereby you and I can stand in this fallen world. And here's David declaring that. And he's citing people who no doubt may have gone to the temple with him, may have one time been a part of his best friends. And they were one way outwardly, but another way inwardly. And David here declares, they self-destruct because they do not regard the works of the Lord nor the operation of his hands. He will destroy them and not build them up. But then in verse 6, suddenly, David affirms, blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. Notice in verse 2, he prays, Lord, hear the voice of my supplication. And now he thanks God. God, you have heard me. You do hear me. It's often been said that God's silence does not mean that he is not listening. After crying to the Lord and asking him for help against those seeking to destroy him, David then thanks God for hearing him. What a great way to pray. What a great way to pray. Cry out to the Lord, but let me encourage you, saints, before you leave your knees, thank him for hearing you pray. Thank him for what he's already done. Thank him for what he's going to do. That's what it means to pray in faith. Nothing outwardly may ever change, but it's thanking God that you've committed to him that issue, that situation, trusting in him with all of your heart. Lord, you are king. You rule. You reign. You are in control. And I worship you, Lord. I thank you that I can pray. And then David, now he, as he begins to thank God, as he begins to remember that, yes, God does hear prayer. He's a covenant prayer-hearing God. Isn't that wonderful tonight? That wherever you are, whatever the situation, you can call out to him. If it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the morning, it doesn't matter. He is always there. He's always available to us. And as David begins to thank God that he's hearing him before the answer, Lord, you're hearing me. And David never prayed direction prayers. Don't do that. Pray direct prayers. God, here's the situation. Here's what I'm giving to you. I'm giving it to you. Take it, Lord. But as he begins to thank God, there's something about when you and I are thankful. Something begins to well up inside. When you look at the depravity of man, as it's chronicled in Romans chapter 1, it begins that their hearts, they love the creature more than the creator, and because there was no thanksgiving in their heart, neither were they thankful. And as David begins to thank God, and he's thanking him by faith, he's thanking him for who he is. Then he begins to say, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Lord, you're the one that empowers me. You're the one that defends me. My heart trusts in you. You know what it means to trust? It means to rely on. It means to lean confidently on. And in him I am helped. Therefore, I love this. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song will I praise him. So he goes from the pits to greatly rejoicing in just a matter of moments. When he realizes that he's going to the holy throne of God, he's committing the situation to the one who has the ability to change things. And if he doesn't change things, to change my perspective of things. Because many times when I go to the Lord in prayer and I'm asking him to change this or change that, he goes, no, Raymond, first I want to change you. And when he changes me, everything changes, even if nothing else changes, because he's changed my heart. And now he says, Lord, you're my strength. You're my shield. I'm trusting you. You've helped me. My heart greatly rejoices. And with my song, well, I praise him. So you see what's happening here? Up to this point, there's prayer. And now what happens? Prayer turns to praise. And it's been said, they who pray well, praise well. And prayer and praise are the two lips of the soul. There's a literal Hebrew translation of the phrase, therefore my heart greatly rejoices. It says, I jump for joy and burst forth with ecstatic, passionate praise. I will sing songs of what you mean to me. Now, we're a bit conservative. Right? For us to get really charismatic, it means we do this. David says, I jump for joy. I burst forth with ecstatic, passionate praise. What do you think that means? Look at the word greatly. I will greatly rejoice. Let me encourage you, saints. Let me encourage you, beloved, never be afraid or ashamed of being too full of rejoicing at the remembrance of the great Savior that you and I have. Never be too ashamed. We serve a great God. Because we serve a great God, we can greatly rejoice. My song. My song. He's not talking about Wesley's song. He's not talking about some other person's song. My song. Did you ever just sing to the Lord your song? You're riding down the road and you're singing. You're praising. Oh God, you are so wonderful. You are so good. You are so holy. And people next to you are... I mean, you're just bursting out with praise, bursting out with adoration, bursting out, thanking Him. Your song. It's you. You can copyright it. The Bible says that we are to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, part of our many of our problems are because we listen to our heart instead of speaking to our heart. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody, where in your heart to the Lord? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, the Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed. John Corson writes this, the phrase saving strength is literally strength of salvations. That is, our salvation is plural. How? The Lord saved us in the past from the penalty of sin when He died on the cross of Calvary. He's saving us in the present from the power of sin by living inside of us through the Spirit. And He will save us in the future from the presence of sin when He catches us up and takes us to be with Him in heaven. Salvation past, salvation present, salvation future. And you know, Jehovah is the same tonight as He was to His servant David. We need the same help that David often cried out for. And He gives it to us when we call upon Him. You see, because we are loved with the same love. We are written in the same book of life. And we are one with Him, connected to the one head. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 40, verse 29, He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Don't you love it? You hear so much about building, you know, self-esteem and building up this and building up that. Beloved, we are the strongest when we realize how weak we are. And we are the weakest when we think that we're stronger than we are. We're the most brilliant when we realize how ignorant we are. And we're the most ignorant when we think that we're brilliant. It's just a complete reversal in the kingdom of God. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also. And lift them up forever. And so here David ends the prayer that the Lord would lift His people up and sustain them. And I pray that He would lift you up tonight and sustain you and encourage you and renew that confidence that when you call out to Him, He does hear, He does listen. He's a very present help in time of need. We've all been there. Lord, I don't want to be in the camp of the wicked. I don't want to be in the camp of the double-hearted. I don't want to be speaking one thing to your face and another thing about you when you turn away. That's wicked. It's evil. It's hurtful. It's unholy. And then Psalm 29, another Psalm of David. Psalm 29. Let me read it, then we'll go through it quickly. Give unto the Lord, all you mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. My brother and his wife wrote a song on that. Those verses. Should have asked him to come tonight and play it, huh? Well, what it was. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve and discovers the forests. And in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sits upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sits king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Wow. The Global Bible Study note for the introduction of Psalm 29 says this. This is a hymn of praise to God for his awesome power. A thunderstorm serves as a visible representation of God's majestic voice. It seems reasonable to suppose that setting the psalm in a thunderstorm deliberately places Yahweh over Baal, the storm god that was widely worshipped in Syria and Palestine. God created the phenomena of nature. They serve his purposes. They demonstrate his wisdom, his glory, his faithfulness, and are even expressions of his love. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. You mighty, you sons of God, the angels. The angels are commanded to give unto the Lord the glory that belongs his name. How much more you and I? Being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, give unto the Lord the glory. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him the glory that is due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God's holiness is beautiful. How God defines beauty and how the world defines beauty are like light and darkness. And holiness essentially means what? Wholeness. When you and I recognize God in his holiness, when we praise him for his holiness, and when we purpose to walk in a worshipful relationship with him, that wholeness, the very DNA of who we are as human beings is discovered. It says in his temple, everyone speaks of his glory. In Revelation 4:8, the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You and I are going to step into that scene one of these days. And you know, I think about worship in the perfect place, the perfect in heaven. These heavenly creatures crying, holy, 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 are not programmed to worship. It's not like they're dimming lights, trying to create an atmosphere. Their praise of God is a natural response to the overwhelming sense of his presence and the beauty of his holiness. You see, true spontaneous worship of the Lord takes place whenever and wherever we acknowledge his manifold beauties and perfections. I don't want to bum you guys out, but this place that we get to stay at is, when we go to Florida, is right on the beach of the Gulf of Mexico. Now, I usually get up a little earlier than my wife. That's not a knock. She's an owl and I'm a rooster. And one of the most beautiful things is to get up in the morning and to just open the slide door and step on the patio and look at the sun rising over the waters and just lift up your hands and begin to worship. Say, Lord, you did all of that and I didn't help you one bit. You never asked me for assistance. I mean, you just lit up the whole morning sky and you're watching the waves and you're saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, you are so wonderful. You are so beautiful. You are so perfect. See, thank God that we can worship within the context of what we're doing tonight. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. But you can worship God in your car. You can worship God when you're working out at the gym. You can worship God when you're rocking your grandbaby. You can worship God when you're walking down the street. All you need to do is be aware of His almighty presence. And how can you not worship? The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 15, that we are to offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You see, giving God glory is not giving Him something that He does not need, like we need gas in the car to keep us going. Giving God glory is giving Him the very thing that is the essence of His being. He is glorious. He's simply glorious. It says in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. If you're ever feeling bummed out, discouraged, down and out, just start thanking Him. Just start praising Him. But I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter. We don't praise Him because we feel like it. We praise Him because of who He is. We worship Him because of who He is. Lord, you are awesome. You are great. You are good. You are glorious. You are majestic. You are holy. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. And I can tell you, if any demon is harassing you, he's going to get out of there in a New York second. The glory of God, the glory of God, the glory of God. I think of Moses. Remember Moses? He was there on Mount Sinai. And the Lord says, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And there's Moses in the cleft of the rock. And then God walked by and he proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression. Moses says, I want to be in your presence. I'd rather be in your presence in the wilderness than be in the promised land without you. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. And then he begins to talk about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. Adam Clark says the whole psalm is employed in describing the effects produced by a thunderstorm which had taken place. You know, and now the scientists, and this isn't a knock on, science is a wonderful thing. But science can only reveal so much. What men call second causes is really God in action. You know, they talk about the laws of nature. David saw lightning and thunder as expressions of the power of the living God, not expressions of the law of silence and science, and certainly not Mother Nature.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.